Gunter.
Josh. Through time. Through time. Through time. Through time.
How do you make the Wiggle Room theme song, which is already so dumb, so much dumber? You said it through time
David
travel.
Kahn. Thank very you, David.
Good. Very good, David.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? You're in the Wiggle Room. I'm Rob Cisternino here with the man who's taking you through time 1 week an episode of Survivor. Each episode, here's the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you? Sunday night.
I'm not great. I'm just an effing guy here in front of an effing microphone talking to you about an effing episode of Survivor.
Yes. Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I ate pizza.
Whoa.
I know that's rare. That doesn't happen around these parts very often, but it did this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Played more Animal Crossing. You know, my island is really taking shape. I put a lot of money into the stock market today. I'm hoping that pays off. Could be risky.
Animal Crossing.
Yes. Yeah. So in Animal Crossing, someone comes to your island every Sunday. She has like a little booger on her face. So you want to wear, if you have a mask, you want to wear a mask on the island to make sure. Just keep distance. And she sells you
turnips.
Is that
new? Did they just put that in there?
No, she's had like a sniffle, I think, throughout the whole game. I think what's
it's
new...
It's not like a raise awareness, COVID-19?
I think what's new is that is the way that we perceive it and react to it in today's world. But you buy turnips from her, and they are at a set price per turnip every time she comes to visit. And then every day, twice a day, the price of your turnips change. So you can sell your turnips for like 7 times the value if you're if you're connected to the right people. So yeah. I took a big gamble. I bought 7,200 turnips today, and I'm really hoping it pays off, Rob.
Wow.
That's a big gamble. It's like taking a stick from Exile Island and hoping it gives you immunity.
Josh, it'll be worth it for the stories alone.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too.
No matter how it turns out.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope
okay.
so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we are going to be going back to April 10th, 2008 to talk about episode number 9 of Survivor Micronesia. I'm in such a hot pickle.
And you yourself are in a bit of a hot pickle, are you not?
Yeah, the air conditioning seems to be on the fritz, just blowing hot air out. That is not a desirable situation. First Lady of Podcasting is not happy. Got to figure out what's going on there, but I've been busy with working on the podcast machine all afternoon.
Is it hotter or colder in the podcast studio?
Well, this has its own system in here. Yeah, you know, we don't rely on, you know, what's going on in the house, but I got to like really get down and figure out exactly.
Is it blanket podcasting weather or no? Still, you wouldn't go that far.
I mean, what is blanket podcasting weather like? Are you asking, is it cold here in the last week of July? It is not cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is whatever blanket podcasting weather is. This is not that.
Mm-hmm. But the weather, the temperature is adjustable. If you're keeping it cold in your room in July, it might be blanket weather.
Yeah, this is not whatever weather this is. It's not blanket weather. Everybody is a little on edge at my house, but that's why we're extra excited to be here with you to talk about Survivor fans versus favorites. All right, Josh, you ready to set the time coordinates back to April 10th, 2008?
So, let me just punch that in real quick. Hang on a second. So April 10th, 2008, Survivor Cook Islands 4. Let me just put that in there.
Where
right
were you
now.
In 2008? April 2008.
Oh, April 2008. I was probably in Congers, New York, working at Wizard Magazine.
Whoa.
My first...
This is the Josh Wiggler prequel.
Yeah, and the Josh... No, this is... I think that this is like book one in the Josh Wiggler series of like entertainment reporter career.
Mm-hmm.
The Josh Wiggler prequel is about the war movies that I made as an adolescent.
Yes, yes.
those exist and those are great. Conway Jeffers is the greatest character. He's pre-Jack Bauer. Really great action hero. I was in Congers, New York, working for Wizard Magazine, I think, in April 2008.
Where's Congers, New York?
It's in Rockland County. Okay. You know Rockland?
Yes.
You know Rockland County at all? So it's like close to New Jersey,
okay.
Orange County.
Got it.
So that's where I was at. I think I was like in sort of like a light survivor phase at this point. I was more interested in getting my career off the ground. I wasn't too into what was happening here. I think the China and Micronesia seasons got less attention from me. This is one of the cycles of Survivor that I paid the least amount of attention to live. This and Vanuatu and Palau. So I don't know what it is about the Eliza seasons, but I wasn't watching live.
The seasons that take place in Palau.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that too. Mm. That too. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Well, that being said,
let's set the time to
April 10th, 2008. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Picture
and that's
it.
Like the big wow that Eric Reichenbach is emitting as he is somehow miraculously still alive in Survivor Micronesia.
Yes.
Episode 9.
We're going to pick things up on the aftermath of the final vote before the merge. Amy Cusack, former Talking with T-Bird guest. By the way, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, the most recent Talking with T-Bird
How
alumni.
Was that?
Fun.
Yeah. It's KBO. That's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. We got into everything. My favorite moment from that podcast, though, was that T-Bird has a very like convoluted game that she plays with the guests, where she talks to the guest, like she talks to a bunch of people that have like have played with the guest, and then says like, "All right, Josh, I talked to this person who said
this is what they said about you." Yeah.
And then they have to guess who it is. And they never are close to what the thing is going to be. It's like, Josh, this person said that you are brilliant, organized, and an incredible pizza enthusiast. It's like,
everybody says these things.
Mike Bloom? Like, nope. Yeah. Was it Emily Fox? Nope. Like, it's like, I give up. So she's like,
it's John.
Yeah, she's explaining the rules, and Kathy is like not really exactly following what's going on. And T-Bird like got kind of like, come on, don't you know? And it killed me. It's like, yeah, Kathy, don't you know the rules to the T-Bird guessing game?
Yeah. I feel like T-Bird doesn't like get tripped up easily. That's fun.
She didn't, but she got like very much like excitable that like
that's
like
amazing.
Like it's like Kathy, I already explained how it works.
That's good. That's great.
That killed me. Okay. All right. So anyway, so let's get into talking about our Malakal tribe. And Eric did not get voted out. It was Amy. Eric sold out Amy to Ozzy.
Yeah. I mean, I think so here's the thing. So we're going to take a quick flyover to Micronesia, right? Like, mm-hmm. We're going to be here for a hot minute. We're here for a hot pickle of a minute. We're taking, you know, what, like somewhere between like, you know, 45 and 90 minutes of our life spent here on Survivor Micronesia.
Sure.
for this wiggle through time. And I think like the perception, if you're just like kind of like bird's eye viewing, you're flying by Micronesia, is like, oh, Eliza gets tripped up with the effing stick, and that's very embarrassing and funny. And oh, Eric is such a duty head for giving away his immunity necklace at the final five, and these guys are just terrible at Survivor and blah, blah, blah. And, I actually walked away from this episode feeling like, these are two people who should be remembered better, I think, as players. I think that both in Eric and Eliza's cases in this episode, I think they're both shown as like really hard fighters. Certainly Eliza like fighting tooth and nail on her way out the door here. And I think Eric surviving the vote that he survived, and we don't remember it as well, at least in this moment, because we didn't watch the tribal council before. Mm-hmm. But like Eric was like very aggressive in that tribal council where he stuck around and Amy went home. So I don't know. I felt like a different perspective on Eric and Eliza watching it this week. I don't know. I don't know if I'm alone in that, but I felt like they were both playing better this time around in my head canon, at least. Maybe not in reality.
Yeah, and I think Eric does a pretty good job overall in this season. I think he just sort of like runs out of gas by the end of the game.
Yeah, I think so too. Seems to be. But here he's like, oh my God, I made it. I got them to draw blood against each other. This is crazy.
I can't believe it. I'm still here.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's going nuts. And all bets are off. Meanwhile, over at the other camp,
Irie,
we see Jason and Eliza. They're the pair to watch in this episode. They're hoping Eric went home, because if Amy is there, that's another ally for them, because they're both on the outs. But don't worry, Jason is going to tell Eliza, play it cool.
I have the idol.
He has the idol.
Yeah. He has the idol. He found it. He went to exile. The exile island gods bowed at the arrival of the great prince Jason Siska and handed him an idol and said, Your Highness, use this wisely.
Spoiler alert, Ron Howard narrator voice, he does not.
He doesn't have it. Yeah. That's the Round Howard narrator voice. He doesn't have it.
But Eliza is great in this episode, because from until the point where she learns what he has, Eliza gives us all her confessionals. Like, she has no reason to believe that that Jason's been duped. She gives us great confessionals about how, like, hey, this is great. I made an alliance with the right guy. He's got the idol. This is fantastic. Yeah.
For all that she knows, this is correct, right? Like, she hasn't seen it.
She doesn't see it until the end of the episode.
She doesn't know. She thinks that it's legit. She's teamed up with, you know, somebody who's like very good at the challenges, seems like not very well loved in the game. That's probably a good person for her. He's a fan. He's probably moldable. This feels like, you know, it's a good situation for Eliza if that idol is real.
Yeah. And it's not even a question for her. Is this a fake? I mean, the fake idol has not really been proliferated through Survivor history. She has no reason to believe that what he could have could be a fake.
Yeah, where are we in fake idols right
Yao
now?
Yao Man made one. Yao I think Man. That was sort of an inspiration for Ozzy to make it here. He painted Ai on a shell. But, a fake idol has not come into play in the season. I mean, in Survivor China, Jamie Dugan got duped, but I don't believe that they had seen that episode at the time that this had aired.
Maybe James just told everybody, though.
Maybe James told everybody about
that. Because he was still laughing about it every time he thought about it.
And so, all right, Ceree's going to get some tree mail, and the tree mail's going to say that there's a merge. Everybody's got to get ready to go. Eric Reichenbach, he's excited because he feels like that while he thought he was in a tenuous position working with the favorites or being on the tribe with the favorites, that he could have even gone home in the last tribal council, he told Ozzy about Amy. He narked on Amy, but now he feels like he's in a really good position with Ozzy, and he makes a very unusual analogy that I would love to discuss with you after we hear it.
Rather than be in opposition to Ozzy, one of the most powerful players in the game, I'm now allied with him in some kind of, like, zookeeper bond. Like, I'm more of the monkey, and he's the zookeeper now, because I owe him my life now.
Josh, is that the zookeeper-monkey relationship?
I think that's how it works. I mean, I don't know about you, but I watched Tiger King, and that feels pretty accurate.
No. The Tigers tried to kill they tried to eat Joe Exotic at the
Ozzy
first
Exotic.
Chance they got. They were
Ozzy
not
Exotic
grateful
works, huh?
to Joe Exotic for their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like
ungrateful
I can see
Tigers.
I feel like I can see it. Well, that's not what Eric's going to try to do. Eric would ride this all the way, I feel like. But things happen.
Yeah,
things happen that he's not thinking about. But it's fun to consider, like, Eric, like the Iago, the parrot to Ozzy's Jafar. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like to imagine that.
Yeah.
I guess it would be more the whatever Aladdin's monkey's name was to the Aladdin.
Apu?
Was it a poo?
Is that what it is? So it's like more of like a, it's more of a monkey Aladdin relationship.
Yeah.
Than I a think monkey that's zookeeper relationship.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, Aladdin, much like Ozzy, was very athletic and was able to like circumnavigate all of these different obstacles around Agrabah and in the Cave of Wonders. Mm-hmm. And he's like able to like jump around all these falling platforms when Jafar goes full evil genie. Justin Ramsey says Abu.
I believe I said Abu.
Abu Burnus.
Yeah, not to be confused with Simpsons characters.
That Abu Burnus.
Abu.
Abu.
So
Abu to
and
you.
Also cue next week's wand off of 10 different parodies of One Jump.
I definitely thought that when you were saying Q, you were just like randomly dropping Q from Star Trek into the discourse. And I really didn't understand where you were going with that.
No,
so that's
not
just
yet.
My diseased brain.
Not yet.
At work.
Okay. So, all right. We're going to see the same thing over at the Irai tribe about...
We're
going to
see another monkey zookeeper analogy.
Tree mail, the merge is coming. And Parvati talks about her unique situation, Josh, where... Parvati has made this alliance with Alexis and Natalie and talks about how she has this three-person alliance. She's also in the alliance with Amanda and Suri, and this is how Parvati sums it up.
Oh my God. I am in such a hot pickle right now.
Such a hot pickle.
Yeah, and so that's going to give us the episode title. One of the most memorable quotes in Survivor history. I'm in such a hot pickle.
What is a hot pickle? Is that like a spicy pickle?
I think so. I think it's like a pickled.
Or is it like it's pickle? So it's so hot.
Oh, I wonder. I mean, I think a hot pickle would be very unpleasant. You know, like a hot temperature pickle, I think would be really unpleasant. Mm-hmm. Instead of like heat, like the spice factor. I feel like that, like you bite into a cold pickle that's got some heat to it, and you're pretty excited about that if you know it going in.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got like a hot pickle that's like warm to the touch, scalds the skin.
Josh, be careful. That pickle just came out of the oven.
Yeah, why would that happen? Who did that? I would have a lot of questions for the person who gave me the hot pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Pickles are meant to be cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never met a hot pickle I liked.
Mm-hmm. I believe then also at the same point, we see Parvati with Natalie and with Alexis. And I noticed this, I remember, during the last time I rewatched the season with you. And they speak in tongues, Parvati mm-hmm. and Natalie and Alexis. Here they are as just like they speak in a British accent often.
Off to the races, my ladies. Off to the races. Oh, yippee.
Should that be what we say when we time travel from now on?
Off to the races.
Off to the races.
My lord.
Yippee. Yeah. My lords and ladies.
Is this so much time communicating with Prince Siska that they've had to, your grace?
Yeah, maybe. I wish I don't know that I have Prince Siska in me anymore.
Mm.
I've been looking for him and he ditched.
Off to the races, my
ladies. Off to the races. Off to the races. That's what Francisca says every time before he goes to a challenge. That's great. They're, you know, good friends with their friend voices. Mm-hmm. You not have friend voices? Is that what we do here?
Yeah, it's kind of like what we do. That's like every podcast.
You know?
Yeah.
Just friend voices, the podcast.
All right. Let's get to the merge. Big merge going on. And of course, everybody's happy to see each other. And everybody's happy, except for Eliza, who says this is the worst merge she could imagine.
Well, she's bummed, right? Mm-hmm. Because her closest person in the game is gone.
Yeah.
Like, kind of improbably. And I think it tells her a lot about where she's standing. And, you know, she had plans. She thought that, like, she and Jason and Amy could have been a thing. Alas, she's gone.
No, did not work out.
Didn't work out. Didn't work out.
She says it's really terrible. James, on the other hand, he is greatly enjoying the merge feast because there's all these delicacies here in Micronesia for people to sort of refuel the tank. And there's one in particular that nobody else wants to touch except for James. There is a bowl of bat soup, Josh.
Bat soup. I hope that's a prelude to a wand off. Yeah, he's just like feasting on bat soup.
Yeah. Bat soup was a bad idea in 2008.
Yeah.
It really doesn't hold up well.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of curious.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Like, moratorium on the bat soup, everybody. Okay. We're done here.
I'm not a huge soup guy.
I don't like to talk about food. But let's can it with the bat soup.
This has been like secretly a food show the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, question to you, sir. What would you rather win on Survivor? Bat soup or lamb shanks and apple
Whatever cider? Is next. Yeah. 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 Not bat soup.
You'll okay? do the shanks and cider yeah. first.
Here's James talking about the bat
what
soup.
What about bat shanks?
No bat. No bat. We're done. No.
Lucille.
We're done with the bat. Here's James talking about the bat.
I mean, how can you get a chance to eat a bat? It's one of the things you have to try. And nope. It was good, like a juicy rabbit. So, I mean, I'm going to probably eat another one.
It's good, it's like great. A juicy rabbit.
Yeah. You never had a juicy rabbit before?
No. No.
I was watching Fatal Attraction the other night for the first time. I didn't realize that they boiled a rabbit in that movie. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I believe the rabbit's name was Grace.
Oh,
I think that's right. It's very sad.
It's a, what, it made you, murder, what made you say, murder, hey, 2020, Fatal Attraction is the movie tonight.
Yeah. Emily and I decided, in the Wiggler Fox home the other night, the words, we love a sexy thriller, were spoken out loud. Because we've decided that that's our favorite genre of movie right now.
Okay.
Like any sort of like sexy Michael Douglas Al Pacino thriller, we're just real here for that.
Ooh,
so we just wanted to try that. Yeah. We love the Al Pacino movies. The worse, the better.
Okay.
As bad as it gets.
All right. We need a name for the Merge Tribe, Josh.
This is so cute, right? Now, where is this in the lineup of the, let me tell you the name of a local thing that means everyone's happy and everything's good. Aha, it actually is a trick. It's a lie. Dabu means nothing. You know, this is like the kind of shit that we get into so often. And I don't know if Eric is the first.
Yeah, he is. Nobody's done this before. He's a game changer. So here is Eric. He names the tribe Dabu, but he says it's Micronesian for good. That it does not mean that.
It's funny.
Oh, Eric looked up Micronesian. Hell no, I didn't look up Micronesian. I just wanted to name the tribe something funny. For all I care, it could have been Momo or like Fishizzle or something. I don't know.
Okay. Josh, could you rank Dabu, Momo, and Fishizzle?
Fishizzle is not gonna make it. They're not gonna let them do Fishizzle. Momo is
too scary, Momo, right?
Momo is Japanese for peach. That would be cute. I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
Dabu. I mean, Dabu sticks for Eric, you know, Dabu Doodles.
Doesn't
so
Momo
good.
Pop up very in YouTube videos?
I don't know what that
scare
means.
You? Yeah. You're not a parent. Yeah.
What, can you explain what that means?
Yeah, Momo. That was the thing a couple of years ago, I guess. But I think that maybe it was a hoax and it didn't really. Maybe it was an urban legend that if you your kids don't let your kids watch videos on YouTube because Momo is going to pop up and scare them.
It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he says Dabu means good in Micronesian when backwards it's you bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you spell it backwards stuff.
Is that why he wanted that?
I tried that joke out before we came on the podcast. It killed. Maybe I wasted it in the pre-banter.
I might have been too scared with Momo.
It's possible. You were watching. You were down your YouTube boiled rabbit hole.
For shizzle. Yeah.
Anyway, Eric is going to claim you bad in reverse. So Dabu. Is good in Micronesian. Okay. So another win for Eric Reichenbach.
We have a storyline here in this episode about Ozzy and Alexis. Now, to this point, Ozzy and Alexis have not had any interaction yet in this game, correct?
To my memory, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They hit it off really hard here.
They hit it off real quick because Amanda and Ozzy, you know, that they were at the point where they were off snuggling on the beach. Sari was talking about Ozlets.
Yes.
And yeah, Alexis is like right in there. She's just her and Ozzy are laying down, talking. And Amanda does not seem thrilled.
Amanda has a few bones to pick in this episode, right?
Bat bones.
Bone. Yeah, she's upset with a couple of peeps. This upsets her a little bit. It concerns her.
Josh, Fatal Attraction was a love triangle too, right?
Well, Michael Douglas gets into an affair with Glenn Close.
Yes.
Amy Archer is not really volunteering for any of this, but is sort of drafted into the war as a result of her husband's
I don't believe
actions.
That in a love triangle, all parties necessarily consent to being in the love triangle.
That might be true. It's like you're just sort of like you're caught in the vortex.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure like Kate didn't want to like, call it like a love triangle
person.
With Jack and Sawyer.
Yeah, I don't think you opt in. I mean, that's something different.
No, that's right.
Totally fine.
Yeah. Fatal Attraction sounds like a good immunity challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good name for it. There's probably magnets involved, like pits of despair.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like Survivor doesn't do a lot with magnets.
Yeah, they probably should change that.
Should
magnets?
They?
Magnets are cool. Why not? I don't know. Let's just try stuff. Why not? Let's try magnets.
Like, what do you want? Like one of those like giant horseshoe magnets? I feel like
Survivor Islands of Magnetism could be cool.
Yeah.
Like each tribe gets a metal detector at the start. And so you go like, I don't know what it's called. You go looking for treasure on the beach. That's what Paul Wachter's job was before Millennials versus Gen X. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Someone will know. Someone knows what I'm talking about.
So we see a little bit from Sari here. She doesn't like having these new people here. She says it's almost like if you people just came into your home and started picking up your remote control. That would infuriate me.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that at all.
I don't even like having kids that touch the remote control.
I know. Someone in my
house.
So
gross and greasy.
Touched the wireless today, and that was a huge problem. It was a big to-do. So I don't even like it when internally in the home, the machinery is being messed with.
Somebody touched your router?
Someone touched my router.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. I very bad look for me for a solid half hour there. I was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little baby. True Princesca moment for Josh Wigman.
Well, bad. Josh, speaking of Princesca, he gets to run into his own idol, not a fake idol, his real idol, Ozzy. And he talks about how that what it's like, and he gets to hang out with Ozzy, and he compares himself to Ozzy and tells us why it would be important for him to beat Ozzy. Meanwhile, we see a little bit of Eliza and Parvati. Eliza gets kind of a raw deal in this episode.
I think so, too. I definitely think so. Like, we're going to get the Parvati confessional of, like, Eliza, you know? Like, no good on Eliza. And Eliza's just trying to, like, wiggle in wherever she can right now. Because Amy's gone.
Well, look, this is Parvati's winning season. And so Parvati is ultimately going to come away with the win. But I do think that if you were going to try to find a flaw with Parvati, that I do feel like that when she doesn't like you, she doesn't like you. When you're out with Parvati, you're out with Parvati. Like she does not necessarily hide her disdain for someone if she is not feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's tough. I think in a social game, that's hard. And I know that she's written about this, I believe, in like the last year or two about what was going on with Eliza.
Yeah. But I think that there are other players that they could really dislike a person and they can hide it. But I feel like that Parvati, like what Parvati I think is able to do is that when she likes you, she can like, speaking of the magnets, she's got you. She's going to pull you in.
She's like the Magneto of Survivor players.
Yeah. To some degree.
Social Magneto.
To some degree. Social Magneto. If you're metal, like basically,
watch
and
out.
She and you hit it off with her, you're speaking in a British accent, you know, she's got She's got you.
But, you're in the web. That's the web.
But if she doesn't care for you, she's not going to pretend And then, and win you over.
Is she the one who's in Cook Islands 1? Tell us, Penner, like, you disgust me. Like, I think it's like that hardcore.
Yeah. 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 So she has to, like, if you have a good relationship with her, you're done. Yeah. If she doesn't like you, she's not going to, you know, fake it and pretend she likes you.
Did that come up in Winners at War?
I mean, I think a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. So,
I don't even remember anymore. That's what's happened.
Right. I mean, she doesn't get it. She doesn't have a great relationship with Wendell. She can't get on the, there's no chance of her working with Yule at that point. We don't need to get into the edge of extinction, but it's just like she's either, she likes you and you're done, or if she doesn't like you, she's not going to like put in a real effort with you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's clearly seen. It's pretty clear here.
Yeah. And Eliza has gotten on her bad side in the beginning of the game, that Eliza is trying to like, hey, we're all the favorites, right? And Parvati's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's like, and basically is like, Eliza's so annoying. She just wants Eliza out of the picture.
Out of it.
One of the few people in the game that Parvati does not have an alliance with.
Right. And because this is what she's going to come to Amanda with, right? Like, I got us hooked up. I've got Alexis. I've got Natalie. We've got this great thing. And Amanda feels like very betrayed by Parvati taking control of her game and like signing her on to alliances that she doesn't even know these people.
Yes. And it does seem like in the edit that the part of this plan that Amanda really doesn't like is that Alexis is part of it, where we know Amanda does not love Alexis after Alexis has showed up and now she's laying down with Ozzy. And so I don't know if there was more layers to it in the real version.
I'm sure there were, but it's a clean story to tell, I guess.
But Parvati basically presents it to Amanda like, I made an alliance with Natalie and Alexis, but they want to work with us. So I don't know. Is that good? I don't know. But they want to work with us, and they don't care if we have our own thing and if we could vote them out at four. And Amanda's just like that. It's funny because next week we will talk about the double idol play in Heroes versus Villains. Just a little bit of a sneak preview, just to keep an eye on these two here. Because we're going to next week.
The story arc will continue.
Episode 10 from Heroes versus Villains.
That's right.
We will continue the story of Parvati and Amanda next week. But again, Amanda also, no poker face, worth noting. She does not seem happy when Parvati is delivering this news.
No. I think the Amanda and Parvati relationship is so interesting, because like there is such like a closeness to them that I think, allows for really good reads of one another in the next season, at least to a certain extent, mm-hmm. or at least a really great read from Parvati towards Amanda. But there is just like, I think this very obvious bond that the two of them have here that makes, their working relationship so functional, but also makes it like painful when it's not working out.
Yeah.
I think like this is starting to get a little bit dicey.
Amanda is really not happy. She tells us in confessional about this. All right. Yeah. We go to our immunity challenge. It's the old put your face up to the grill and then try to breathe when the tide is coming. Do you like this challenge?
It scares the schnizzles out of me. No thanks. No thank you. I would be so bad at this.
I think I would be bad at this. I never want to get water in my nose. I hold my nose when I jump in the water.
How often are you jumping in the water, Rob?
I mean, I can't remember the last time I did, but if I did jump in the water, I would want to hold my nose.
You hold your nose.
I have a hard time with jumping in the water and not holding my nose.
Eyes open in the water or closed?
Depends on the body of water.
But you can do eyes open?
Yeah, if it's like if I was in a pool, I wouldn't want to do it like in like, at Jones Beach.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, you can't open your eyes you've never seen under the water?
Can't do it. And with goggles on.
Yes. Yeah.
No, there's not much to see. Yeah. I just would like to be able to do it, but I don't have
the ability. It's a little irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Water in the ears is not great either, Justin, in the chat. Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, that I've experienced on multiple occasions. And it's very bad.
Yeah.
Especially if you got a waxy ear to begin with. It's not great.
Okay.
we don't need to go there. But when Ozzy is like barfing out water,
yeah.
By the end of this thing, when Ozzy is barfing out water, it's like, this is no way.
Yeah. Are they, Ozzy, come on, just give up. Okay. Francisco will win immunity.
Yeah. And he's pretty thrilled about it.
Yeah. Okay. And here he is now talking about what it was like for him to now the student is the teacher, Ozzy. Yeah. Listen to Francisco.
Today's immunity challenge, I was able to win. In fact, I think I actually dominated the whole challenge when I came up and saw the look of failure on Ozzy's face. It was pretty delightful. So being able to dominate Ozzy and then hopefully being able to send him home later tonight will be one of the highlights of the game for me.
Wow. He certainly did dominate that challenge.
I mean, like, the Anakin Skywalker comparisons are there, but he's gone full Palpatine here. Good. Good. Unlimited power.
I mean, this challenge, Josh, it was not like a Schmergen brawl or like a sumo at sea where it was just like Jason is destroying Ozzy. He knocked him right out of that competition. Like, he lasted 1 second longer than Ozzy and hold your breath.
That was a dominant performance. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dominated everybody.
He dominated him so hard that he had to say he dominated him twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The look of failure on Ozzy's face.
The look of was delightful.
Yeah, listen.
Today's immunity challenge, I was able to win. In fact, I think I actually dominated the whole challenge when I came up and saw the look of failure on Ozzy's face. It was pretty delightful. So
it's so delightful.
You could like read that as like a Trump tweet is the thing, is like the language. In fact, I believe I dominated him. I think you could say I dominated him.
Ozzy was low energy.
It's terrible.
Sad. Yeah.
It's very sad.
Sleepy Ozzy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Horrible nightmare. That is a mental picture for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Ozzy, wearing shades, Josh, in the challenge. What do you think
Jeff
of that?
He would never wear shades now. Mm-hmm. Never. No. Too man of the people these days. If the survivors don't have shades, I don't get shades either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the survivors don't get cowboy hats, I won't have a cowboy hat. Oh, Ben has one? Oh, I kind of want one. Won't wear it.
Okay. All right. So Parvati.
He's really locked into a look these days. We're still in season 16. He's still experimenting.
Yeah. Parvati, Natalie, Sari are trying to figure out what to do. Parvati wants it to be Eliza. And based on what the way the edit presents it, Eliza seems to be not far off in the distance when there's a lot of talking about Eliza.
Yeah, the episode never like straight up says that Eliza overheard it, but Eliza is going to operate as though she knows, like, she's done. Mm-hmm. She's toast.
Mm-hmm.
She is like right in the background of the camp. You do see her just kind of like walking around.
So Eliza's going to go back and track down Jason, who's seemingly cooking by himself in the cave. She's like, hey, look, they're voting for me tonight. Because earlier in the episode, he had said to Eliza, hey, I win immunity. I'll give you my immunity idol. She's like, what a guy. What a good friend.
We're going to flip this whole thing right around. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, well, I think I'm going to need that idol tonight.
He's like, okay.
No problem.
Yeah.
I'll go get it.
Yeah.
I'll go get it. So I hit it. I just need to go get it. I'll get it in 10 minutes. She's like, this is great. This is wonderful. This is such like a great plan.
The DoorDash of immunity items. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just dialing it in.
Yeah.
Your order has been received.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently being processed and delivery in about 10 minutes.
Yes. And so he's going to go get the idol, and then he's going to drop it off for a no contact drop off mm-hmm. for Eliza in a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, let's go back and check in on the Ozzy Alexis Amanda triangle. Ozzy and Alexis are talking. Alexis is asking him, hey, where's the coolest place you ever surfed?
Yeah, he likes Australia, right? Isn't that what he says?
That sounds cool. I didn't get to ask Ozzy about that in my interview with Ozzy, which for me, that was one of my favorite interviews that I've gotten to do. But I love that. Didn't get to ask Ozzy, where's the coolest place you ever surfed?
Where's the coolest place you've ever surfed?
Netscape.
Yeah, I was going to say the internet. I've surfed the shit out of the web.
Yeah. Yeah. Hang 10.
Hang 10. Hang like 10,000 at least.
Yeah. Amanda and Suri are talking, and Suri, a couple times in this episode, I see her with her hair down, and I feel like I've never, I've watched this season. I must have seen it before. I feel like you don't get that from Suri a lot.
I didn't even notice that.
A couple times Suri was walking around with her hair down.
It's always great to see Suri on a
season. Yeah, new look. I liked it. And she said to Amanda, it seemed like that Suri, like, was stirring the pot a little bit here with Amanda of like, boy, yeah, that doesn't, that, whether it's Alexis, who's not with Suri, or whether it's get rid of Ozzy, who by the next episode, Suri is going to be talking about getting rid of Ozzy. Either way, she is very keen to sort of like, fan those flames with Amanda.
Fans versus flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Eliza has gotten her no contact delivery from Jason. The stick is in the bag. Eliza will rummage through the bag looking for the idol, and she will find it wrapped in a cloth. Here's Eliza discovering this.
This is so stupid. This is just a napkin.
I can see myself as Eliza. This is so stupid.
Yeah. I can imagine you in this situation. I had never done that thought exercise until just now, but I can imagine you like marching to Siska and being like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think you and Eliza would have very similar energy in this moment. Mm-hmm.
But they go back and forth because then Eliza is going to ask him about it. She's like, what are you trying to pull? He's like, what? It's the idol.
Yeah. She's like, no, it's not.
It's not. Well, what is it? He asks.
He must have the real thing. That's not the idol.
What is it?
It's a snake. I know.
I know.
Well, that's the great response to that.
Yeah.
It's an effing stick.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Iconic. I mean, just really, really, really great. Very, very funny. And I just love the dynamic between Eliza and Jason here of Eliza being like, this isn't real. And Jason goes, oh, well, that's a bummer. It's just sort of like the frank way. He's like, well, that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, should I play? He's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. You know, look, this is the thing is like this, I think, does. I don't know. Am I out on a limb here on a tree branch, Rob, that I think like the at least like the people on the streets reaction to this is, oh, Eliza's so dumb in this moment. But I think that the idol, like even the thought that this could just be a stick is at least a little bit of an Ozzy seed for Jeff Probst in how he wants to push the appearances of idols so that you don't know whether it's real or fake.
Do you think that it's Eliza is so dumb? Because I feel like
that's why I'm asking you. Like, what do you think the perception is?
I think the read is Jason is so dumb based on it. Like, he finds it. He's like has like false bravado about finding it. He brags about finding it. He Eliza immediately looks at it and is like,
yeah,
this isn't real. This is a stick, you moron.
Right. Yeah.
You know, at no point is Eliza, and he's like, should I play it? I guess. Like, I mean, Eliza has no confidence playing it. And so
you got to try
at any point.
You
got
to take your shots. You know,
I mean, she's sold like worth a bill a of shot. Goods of like false hope.
Right.
Of, you know, she's the person who's been poisoned. And he's like, well, you got poisoned. I've got the antidote in my, that's amazing.
Great. Yeah.
It's amazing. I like, and then he comes out and he's like, that's not an antidote. That's a Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Really? Oh, that's a bummer.
He's like, well, should I take it? Like, I mean, it's not going to hurt.
He's got to do the do.
That's Eliza. And then Eliza, they go to tribal council. Interestingly, they go right from the effing stick conversation to the tribal council. This season has some interesting edits like that with we go right to tribal council. It's a cool way to get into it.
Yeah, but I also think it's because to a certain degree, you're watching this knowing that Eliza is on her way to the jury, right? Because we know that it's not real. She seems to know it's not real. So we're kind of just like, along to like see, like it's like a slow motion wreck, yeah, where like you know that this is about to go very, very badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the other potential thing of like, does Amanda want to get out of Lexus? But there's really no that, like, there, you're not fed that in any way.
No.
Okay, so we go to Tribal Council, and there's a lot of questions for Alexis about the game.
She's at the forefront of the conversation.
Yeah. She's like, a triple threat. A go-to gal.
Yeah. Are you surprised we haven't seen Alexis back on Survivor? I think it's like somebody who's like Black Widow Brigade adjacent. I think both her and Natalie are people that I'm surprised haven't been more in the mix.
Natalie, I know that she was an alternate for Heroes versus Villains. Yeah. Alexis, I just think that she has a lot of stuff going on in real life. I just think that that for Survivor, for her to do Survivor again, like, she wasn't a big enough character on the show for Survivor to be clamoring for her. And I also think that she has like enough stuff going on in real life that she's not clamoring to do Survivor. So I don't think it's a great fit for either side.
Yeah.
But we
she's
have
fun here, though. She's really fun here.
Yeah. A lot of questions for her about, you know, that. They're asking questions to Alexis, questions about Alexis. Suri calls her a triple threat. Alexis asked about Eliza, and she says that Eliza had played a strong strategic game, but not a good social game. And Jeff calls her out on, you said played.
Yeah.
You said played.
Yeah, you said played.
Past tense. Get it? Like, she's already gone.
Eliza got played. And Jeff, very quick on the uptake there. He said played. That's past tense. She's still here.
Yeah.
Eliza says, I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliza says, oops, okay.
And
it's an open thing. Like, everybody at Tribal Council is like, no one's like really hiding this.
Yeah. So we are hearing from Eliza, who her pitch is like, hey, okay, you're right. Maybe I haven't played a great social game, but you should keep me around. Because that's what you would want to do. You want to keep around people who are unlikable so you can win in the end. And there's some agreement from people that are in the group. James is also that. He says, yeah, that is how somebody wins the game. And he says it in an interesting way.
That's the way to win Survivor. There's no book to win Survivor. That's the schedule. Get the one that everybody hates and keep them alone. Yeah.
That's the notebook, Josh. That's the schedule.
That's the schedule. See, now the problem, we haven't watched The Notebook. It's not a sexy thriller, mm-hmm. you know? That's just a sexy drama.
What are some other go-to sexy thrillers? I'm not going to type sexy thriller into my Google.
You know, well, Basic Maybe Instinct Netscape. Is on the docket. We're going to do that. What's the Woody Harrelson one with Demi Moore?
Oh, Indecent Proposal?
Yeah, that's a sexy thriller. That's a sexy thriller.
It's like a love triangle also.
A Perfect Murder, another sexy thriller, Michael Douglas. Unfaithful?
Oh, yeah.
Very sexy thriller. And it doesn't even present as a thriller until it's way too late. Now it's like really off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Love a sexy thriller.
Okay.
Great genre film.
All right. So,
it's a good time at the movies.
Everybody's going to vote, Josh. Prince Siska and Eliza, they're going to vote for Ozzy. Here's Princesca's vote for Ozzy.
My vote is for Ozzy. Hopefully what I gave Eliza is the real hidden immunity idol. I can't wait to see the look on your face if it is you.
The look of failure on your face.
It's going to be delightful. It's going to be delightful. I don't know.
Ultimately, Liza is going to play the idol. And interestingly, after Jeff says, no, it's not real.
But it was worth a shot.
Worth a shot. Which
shot
is the
always.
Same thing. Yeah. Jeff doesn't say always, though, but that's the same thing Adam Klein says when he's getting his torch snuffed.
Yeah. It's
so
good.
Interesting. Okay.
Survivor rhymes. It's like poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so echoes
throughout the years. But then she's like, okay, so it's not real. That means Ozzy's got the idol.
Yeah, she outs.
So this is like one last sharp stab from Eliza on her way out. And I think what separates this from like what like Andy did in Australian Survivor, you know, like when like you're out of the game and like you tear somebody's game down as you're like officially voted out. Mm-hmm. Eliza is still in the game technically at this point.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but he made up something that wasn't...
He made something up, but it turned out that the thing he was making up was right.
Yeah.
He got it right.
Yeah.
And that's like a punk move, I think. It's like, if your torch has been snuffed, you're done. You shouldn't be able to say anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, you know, just like a button, like, I hope you get eaten by crocodiles.
Yeah, this is like the move in Secret H that if they assassinate me, then you know that I was good and, you know.
If you say that before the assassination,
yeah,
that's fine, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you say that afterwards, that defies the laws of physics.
Yeah.
You're done. You shouldn't be able to speak anymore unless you're Casey Kasem. Mm-hmm. You're on the wand off.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be doable. Okay. So I think Eliza saying Ozzy must have it. And then Ozzy owning up to it. Like, that's all fair. Votes haven't been read yet.
So did Ozzy ultimately sign his own death warrant in the game by making the fake idol to give to that? If Ozzy does not ever make the fake idol.
This is too cute.
Jason doesn't find it and then have Eliza play it. And then ultimately have Eliza announce a tribal council. That it just would have been Jason went to Exile Island. He doesn't have the idol.
So the next
somebody else
trip must have it. On the time machine is to go back to episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is it episode 5 when Ozzy goes to Exile and gives him the fake?
I don't know which episode it is.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, we've actually talked about this in the evolution of strategy. We talked about everything that went on here in this episode. This is the second time you and I have discussed this. Sam Moore went back and listened to our conversation talking about the events of this episode. He sent me a clip about I discussed a theory about what Eliza should have done with the stick idol upon getting it. Would you like to hear that?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay, let's check out from Evolution Strategy. What did I say that Eliza should have done with the stick? You know, watching this back, I don't know if we've ever talked about this or if Eliza's ever talked about this, but what if Eliza plays this differently?
How? What?
What? Okay. What if instead of like going berserk here? What if she's like, oh my God, Jason is an idiot. This is a fake idol. And she says to him, Jason, oh my God, thank you so much for the idol. But isn't it like, wouldn't we love to see the look on Ozzy's face if you gave me the necklace and then you played the idol? Like, could she have like, oh, Jason, you did it. You wonderful Jason. Like, won't that? Oh, could you imagine the look on their faces? Now, again, don't tell me that this guy isn't going for this, because ultimately, when he gets voted out, he falls for a way dumber plan than what I'm suggesting.
Sure. I guess we're just not at that point yet where Eliza has seen that these tricks can work on these men.
I guess so. And she needs to sort of like be able to catch her breath, and her blood is boiling right now.
Yeah, it's too soon. It's too soon. She's so worked up.
But
so
I think my plan would have at least got her 3 more days.
Oh, Jason would be like, oh, that's such a great idea.
It's like, Jason, oh, this is going to be the biggest move in Survivor history. You give me the necklace and then you play the idol.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that's a great idea. I love that idea.
Yeah, because then everybody on the jury will see that you were the one that found the idol, and then you'll get credit for it.
They'll see how smart and brave I am.
Yes. There it is.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Can you play the sound at the start of the clip again? I would love to just hear it at specifically the start rather than the end.
This one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a giant sneezing.
Giant sneezing. Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you get that? That's good.
Boy, just Jason would have loved sound? To have seen the look of defeat on
on his own face
on
Ozzy's
face.
That moment.
Okay. All right.
Can you imagine if that had worked? That's a good, I think that holds up from the evolution of strategy. Yeah, I like
we're
that.
Thinking outside the box. Okay.
That's good.
All right, Josh, anything else you want to say about our trip back to Micronesia?
It's a fun season. Dalton Ross says this is the most beautiful place Survivor's ever filmed, according to the places he's been to in Palau. I believe that. I think that you hear that a lot from a lot of the people who played in this season and in season 10. It's a shame that this season is the last standard def, right? Like right before that HD cutoff, this would have been really, really nice to see
in HD.
Yeah, it's SD.
What are you going to do?
You want HD.
All right, before we get into our weekly song competition that we call the Wand Off, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. This show is supported by BetterHelp Online Counseling. We are in extraordinary times. If you're struggling with stress, anxiety, or depression, you are not alone. BetterHelp offers online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. BetterHelp counselors specialize in many areas, including relationship conflict. Some of those characters in the films that you've been watching, Josh, could certainly use that. Anxiety, depression,
big time.
Loss, trauma, and more. Securely connect with your counselor in a safe and private online environment. Everything you share is confidential. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched with a counselor in under 48 hours. This is a very simple process to get set up. You'll easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You can get the professional help that you want wherever you are. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners can get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. That's RHAP. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. All right. With that, let's go ahead and kick off our weekly version of the Wand Off.
Hit it, Wanda. Right
there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wand Off. It's the Wand Off. Straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wand Off. It'll be here forever.
Oh, baby. Yeah, that's right. The Wand Off.
It's happening.
Week number nine.
Week nine.
Closing in.
Just
a couple of weeks left of the Wand Off through time, Josh.
Yeah, just in time for Big Brother.
Yes, yes. Are you going to dabble in the Big Brother this summer?
Dabu in the Big Brother?
Are you going to stick your toe in the Big Brother pool?
But it's an All-Stars, right? So this is a really bad one to start with.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You're not going to need the backstory.
Yeah.
I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine.
I don't know.
You know, it's not like you're jumping into like Avengers Endgame or anything like that.
But it kind of is, isn't it?
It's not. Believe
Didn't
me.
Like half of them get canceled, and now we're going to see if they can get uncanceled?
Who, the Big Brother contestants?
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody who's canceled is going to be there.
Okay.
Okay.
That was just like a snapped, like you got snapped out.
Yeah. I think it's fine. Yeah. If you're too worried, you could skip it. It'll be fine also.
I'm probably not going to watch it, but maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
I'm excited for everybody because people are excited. There's not a lot of new TV out there, so that's great. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be exciting. All right. Yeah. All right. Last time out, our top three from last week. In third place, it was Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson with their song about Penner. 10% of the vote.
Okay.
Okay. Building from there, 35% of the vote went to Stan Tsai with Doms and Tiano. And our winner from last week, it was a newcomer to the Wand Off, winning their first ever slap bracelet and Wombat's hat. Here is
combo.
Rob Has a Pollster, a.k.a. Matt Price.
Well, I'm just Kent, and you know I'm gonna be, I'll be a secret baseball player next to you. And if you ask me...
There you go.
If
you
yeah. Ask me
what I heard an interview with Jeff Kent a couple of weeks ago. He was called into WFAN to talk to Joe and Evan. He was a good interview.
Yeah. He's, good talker, I guess.
Yeah, he is a good talker. Yeah. He didn't want to talk to the media when he was on the Mets, but he's a good interview, Jeff Kent. Okay. All right.
Did you interview Jeff Kent for Survivor?
Yeah, I have a ton of respect for him. He did all the exit press, yeah. And lesser people have not.
Whoa.
So, yeah, Jeff Kent said that he talked to everybody. So did Cliff Robinson too. So yeah. I respect that a lot from those people.
Did you get The Rock? Did you get John Rocker
the
on?
Rock.
Is that not what they call him?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that's a different guy.
Did I interview John Rocker? That's a great question.
I know he did. I remember he did an email interview.
I have no recollection of this. But let me see. Did I interview John Rocker? And you know what? I'd have to go back and take a look at that. If I had a gun to my head, I'm going to say no because I don't remember it. But maybe I did.
Yeah.
How curious are you on that?
Pretty curious.
Okay.
Doesn't look like he did. Yeah, John Rocker talks with Rob about being the one who got blindsided by his tribe.
Mm-hmm.
After his controversial comments came to light in episode 3 of Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Okay, there you go. So good for John Rocker, too.
In an interview before the season, John Rocker said about Survivor, I can sum it up by saying it's the worst thing I've ever done. Why does John feel that way? This is in the show notes.
Okay.
So you got to listen to the interview from October 9th, 2014 to find out.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right. So, Josh, let's talk about this week's Wand Off. And, of course, let's bring in the host of the Wand Off, the late, great Casey Kasem. Josh and Rob, it's a pleasure to be back here with you with my weekly dose of bat soup.
How's it tasting?
It tastes of fishizzle.
Uh-huh.
It tastes not taboo if you speak Micronesian.
Yeah. Tastes ooh bad.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and bring in our top five songs of the week, Casey, anytime. That's right. We're going to hear our top five songs in Wombats Nation, and you can vote. RobHasAWebsite.com/VoteWanda. The tabulator, Kurt Clark, is standing by. Also, I want to add that, Casey, if I may interrupt for a second, that thank you to our listeners who got their wand offs in a day early for us to record on a Sunday.
Yes, I appreciate accommodating my schedule here, hitting the open road to go to,
Josh,
New
it works
England
out great because it's going to be a busy podcast Monday also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I'm looking forward to that for you.
All right. So let's hear our top five, Casey. All right. You got it, sir. Let's get to the number one song here in Wombats Nation.
Hey, Rob, did you ever think that you were going to get to a place in your life where the ghost of Casey Kasem was accepting marching orders from you?
Nope.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You've done well. It's not bad.
We're going to hear from a duo that's making their Wandoff debut. It's Courtney and Ashley with a song to get you in the mood for summer. Here's Courtney and Ashley with the number one song here in the Wandoff.
We've been apart for so long now. I think it's time to get out of Ira. We can go to Moloko for Earth's beneficial, or maybe Parvati. She's in a hot pickle. Let's go put on the sickest merger feast. Things might get dicey if the girls start to fight over Ozzy. So drop the bat, James. Put down the stick, Eliza. It's not Nigel. It's Corona time. That was a part of the show. They ate a huge merch feast. I'm underwater. I'm just floating here waiting for the tide. Is it possible that I'm gonna die? Water continues to rise to my eyes.
That was the song of the summer from Will Sims from America.
Wow. That's pretty classic.
Yeah. Did they drink a Corona at the merch?
I didn't see who was getting faded.
Wasn't sure if that was
not.
A you know they were dating the song to 2020 or yeah, if somebody had a Corona at the merch feast.
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Hopefully it's the drink.
Next week, Eric Reichenbach gets pretty drunk though, right?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
In Survivor Micronesia.
Yeah, Micronesia. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he does on his on the other basis.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Correct. All right. Here's the number two song from the dynamic duo of the Wandoff. Here's Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson talking about James's favorite dish.
Eliza, you had no one besides Siska. His confidence about a stick misled ya, and your game fell apart. They reunited with a desire in their head, their goal of trying to redefine what was the best part of episode 9. And she said, what about James eating those bats? Jason said, I think I remember that meal, seeing it again. He preferred it over Chinese balut. And I think nowadays it would have zero appeal. Sorry, Wiggler Babe. No meta penner references here. Medical didn't treat him better.
Bad luck, Johnny.
Not good enough. Gaslighting the fans is quite tough. Eliza needs something else to say to erase that fake idol play. The past tense, unless fans hate hearing grammar or Amanda jealousy inspired anger or the players nearly drowning. Then Jason said, what about this 8-year-old boy? Eliza said, how would he be related to this? This boy, Michael, feels like he might alter the stick stance. And she said, that doesn't have a ghost of a chance. Okay, maybe this Nick Goover Penner situation could be over too. Just as long next week isn't a 4-3-2 vote episode.
That was happened? From the Deep Blue Collar something.
I think Nick and Aaron have both gotten time travel brain as well.
Mm-hmm.
We all have time travel brain.
Josh, next up, the number three song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Greg, who has a song about the fake immunity idol. Here's Greg.
Jason said, don't worry about it. Jason said, don't worry no more. They both know Eliza's gone without it. They're both sending Ozzy out the door. Ho, ho, ho! My stick has a face and it's for you, 'cause it's an idol. Oh, my stick has a face and it's for you, he told Eliza. Jason found hidden immunity, the tribe they will be numb. Eliza's going to get out, Ozzy, the best is yet to come. An iconic idol play they'll talk about for years to come. They both know, they both know. Jason said, don't worry about it. Jason said, don't worry no more. They both know Eliza's gone without it. They're both sending Ozzy out the door. Ho, ho, ho! My stick has a face and it's for you, 'cause it's an idol. Oh, my stick has a face and it's for you, he told Eliza.
That's from the artist The Weeknd.
the what?
The weak.
I got it. Yeah, really. Everyone's trying to stretch the weekend, so.
Justin in the chat says that thinks the Corona reference is a bat COVID joke, which that's why it's a Corona time.
Get me a lyric sheet. I need a lyric sheet.
Josh, the number four song coming your way is from James from Canada, who wants to talk about that effing stick.
Stick. Ozzy found it a stick. And Ozzy carved it a stick. And Ozzy hid the stick. The stick. Jason dug up the stick. There we go, baby, a stick. And Jason took home the stick. The stick. He told Eliza the stick is the hidden idol, the stick. He thought it was more than a stick. On the stick, she pulled it out, the stick was wrapped in a napkin, the stick. This isn't it, it's just a stick. And he said that sometime they gonna vote you out. That happens gonna help you out. I'm gonna let you play my stick. And she said, what you trying to pull? I'm going anyways. And he replied, it's real cause it has a phrase. So she played it that night, even though it was just a stick. Oh, the stick. Jeff rolled his eyes at the stick. Fire the stick, but we'll always remember the stick.
That was from the hit band Snakes and Mouse Rat.
Yeah, I thought Mouse Ratana.
Mouse Ratana.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh, great. The number five song here in Wombat's Nation is from the great.
Don't try Michael? Wombat soup, by the way.
Wombat soup?
No, don't do it.
Michael from Rochester is here with a number five song in Wombat's Nation.
She had it coming. She had it coming. Eliza has herself to blame. Jason the moron, who she aligned with, managed to cost her the whole damn game. You know how people have these little habits that get you down? Like Eliza. Eliza wanted to be in my alliance. That's right, mine. So we're picking coconuts one day, and I'm really irritated. And I'm thinking of how to vote out Ozzy. And there's Eliza, constantly asking if we're all good, over and over. So I said to myself, you ask me that one more time. And she did. So I rallied the votes together, and I sent the loose cannon to the jury. You don't want to mess with the Queen Pea. She had it coming. She had it coming. We had enough of all her lies. She tried to use it, but she confused it with a stick that was compromised.
That was sung by the great actress Catherine Zeta-Jones. And those are your top five songs in Wombat's Nation. Shout out to Randy Newpel, who curates the Wandoff playlist every single week. We don't know how he does it, but he's still doing it.
Yeah, Cherry Hill has it coming.
Josh, until next time, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
Yep.
And also keep that soup off your table. Okay.
It's not on
the menu.
Thank
you, Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
All right.
Check it out.
Next time out, I said, season 20, episode 10. Don't watch season 10, episode 20.
Yeah, season 20, season episode 20, 10.
Episode 10. Parvati's going to play two idols. We're going to talk more about Parvati next week.
It's the third merge through the time travel.
We love merges.
It's a big thing.
We love merges. So
the
we'll
one benefit of the multiple different seasons where
a lot of seasons, the best episode is the merge.
You know, and sometimes it's, you know, an episode 10, sometimes it's a 9, a 6, or a 7. So it's the benefit of the format that's been selected for this series.
Josh, sadly, next week, we will be wiggling without you.
Oh, wiggling without you! Someone could use that as a wand up. I won't be here. I am going to be taking a week off from the podcast. I will be in a cabin in the woods in Maine. And I'm very excited about that. I'm going to try it. I have some work ahead of me this week to keep a few of the podcast feeds stocked for while I'm gone. I figured this is a good time to get some other people talking Survivor in my place on the Wiggle Room next
week.
What
will you do mostly in the cabin in the woods?
If I do my job right, I'm gonna work on my book, but I'm probably just going to play in the water instead and just be like, wow.
Like the real water or an Animal Crossing?
No, I think, well, probably both. Both. We'll see if I get really deep into the stock market for the week that I'm in Maine. The internet connection is going to be pretty shoddy, so I don't know.
That sounds great.
Be risky. It'd be risky to make a big bet on the turnips for the week.
Enjoy your time away.
I appreciate it.
We will miss you, and we'll be back.
We got a great episode, though, and I'm sure you'll have someone great in my stead, and it'll be fun. Yeah,
okay. All right. Josh, what else do you have going on these days?
Mole Patrol. It's the rewatch / first watch of The Mole season one with myself, Brooklyn Zed, Jessica Leese, Anderson Cooper, who is yet to appear on the podcast, but our people are talking to his. We're working on it.
Anderson Cooper.
That's right. It's my first time through The Mole, and so I'm watching it with clean eyes, no spoilies. And Jess and Zed have both watched this show multiple times, and they are laughing from behind the scenes as I am getting things wildly wrong, I am sure, but we are having a blast. On that podcast, it's on reality TV. We're hap-ups. Elsewhere, there is the post-show recaps coverage of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on the Everything is Super podcast. Myself and Kevin Mahadeo, we're talking Doctor Strange this week. And season 3 of Lost is underway on Down the Hatch with myself and Mike Bloom. So all of those are things that you should be checking out. The Food podcast, I had a great episode about salt, fat, acid, heat over the weekend. So check that out if you haven't done so already. Emily and I will be missing the Food podcast this coming weekend, but I hear they've got fun plans. So keep your ears peeled and your potatoes too.
Potatoes too.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've got a ton of fun stuff going on. Of course, it's going to be a big brother kickoff week. I've got a real big brother preseason rollout planned for you.
You seem pretty pumped.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
Look at you. So excited.
I mean, I think that, let me talk about it a little bit.
Because, let's do it.
That by the time that, you know, this podcast was going to go up on Monday, so people will probably know about it. But every week I do the patron Facebook Friday.
Yep.
And people call in and they talk to me about things like we're talking about different potential, like people have questions. They want to know more. Hey, how come this happened?
Process.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was talking with our mutual friend, Ariel Kalish Glassman.
Oh, amazing.
And she was talking about similarly, like, hey, well, I want to watch Big Brother, but I'm afraid, I'm like Josh Wiggler, I am sort of a Big Brother novice. I don't really know all these people. And she had thrown out the idea of it'd be great if you could do sort of like Game Changers preseason style interviews about the people that are coming back to Big Brother. And I said, you know what? I think that's a great idea. And so we're going to start rolling out a little bit of a deep dive into every single one of the Big Brother All-Stars. And what I love about it, Josh, is that we've just gone through this massive casting search to find all these new podcasters to come on.
Correct.
And so what a great opportunity to get all these new people involved than to be doing all of these preseason shows. So we're going to have something old, something new. between with either myself or Taryn, and sometimes both. And we're going to go through all of the Big Brother All-Stars that are going to be coming your way. This is coming August 5th, and we're going to start trying to put out a podcast a day, talking about two or three different people a day.
I mean, you weren't kidding when you said you got a big week of podcasting.
Big week of podcasting coming up this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's going to be like, it'll be new user friendly. I mean, obviously you'll have to spoil their seasons and stuff, but like this will give me.
We're going to try to keep it short. Trying to talk about like 30, 40 minutes on each person. Yeah. It's cool. Basically just like, here's this person's story so far in case I didn't see their season or whatever. And even if you did, it's, you know, a week of hype.
I like a week of hype.
Yeah. So,
cool. Very, no, that's very fun. Excited that's about really that. Great. That's a great idea. And having been a fly on the wall for some of the conversations, not just a fly who can speak on the wall in some of the conversations with some of the people we've been talking to about lending their voices to the RHAP community. Some of the people that I talk to are involved in this. And these are going to be really fun.
I'm really excited.
It's going to be really, really fun. So we got you got some really fun people who are interested.
We got all that going on. And then plus, we just dropped Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, season 3, episode 7 of 30 Rock, not to mention News AF coming your way as well. And Tough as Nails week after week. If you've missed that.
You, Jess, Mike, Phil.
Phil, yeah, the whole crew.
Yeah.
So that's very fun stuff. Make sure you're following you everything.
Phil's going to keep podcasting with you after Tough as Nails?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Phil is Tough as Nails is his baby.
Right.
Loves Tough as Nails. So yeah. Not to say he doesn't love The Amazing Race, but that's like
but
he's
Tough
really,
as Nails is his
that's
thing.
His show. Yeah.
It's his show. It's
okay.
His show.
All right. So great to catch up with you, Josh Wiggler. Enjoy your trip next week. Make sure you vote. robswebsite.com/votewanda. Of course, great time to get involved with the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon. Pro tip, though, hey, if you're thinking about coming on board, wait till August 1st.
Yeah, first of the month.
They don't think it twice. Yeah.
More bang for your buck.
Yeah, more bang for your buck. Lots of great stuff coming up with Big Brother. Excited to talk about heroes versus villains next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, I'm Jeff Kent, and you know I'm gonna be. I'll be a secret baseball player next to you. And if you ask me, if you ask me what I do, I sell motorbikes and sometimes ride them too. And at Tribal, well, you know I'm gonna be Plan B or Plan C next to you. And when I vote out, well, I'm gonna vote out Pete. Oh, now it's me. Oh, well, then what you gonna do? Well, I would get $600,000 if I win this game. But Obama takes $400,000. Isn't that a shame?
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Thanks, Obama. La da da.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Thank you, Wanda. La da da.